soledad. Mis ojos brillan al pensar en su mirada tan profunda y sin igual.
Yvette Dye here on Cristo the Rock, 100.7 FM K-Word. And once again, I always say the same, and you will hear it again. I'm so excited to be here, to be able to share the word and to be able to share this program with lovely, anointed people, people that have made a decision to serve God and give their best. And tonight we've been talking about obedience versus partial obedience, which partial obedience is just right up there, equivalent to disobedience. And it usually has consequences, and usually we deprive ourselves, not anyone else but ourselves, of what God has for us. And I think that if we were to look back at our life, whether as a child or as we're growing up, at one time we've all experienced a consequence of disobedience, whether it be in school, you know, you got sent to detention or something like that, which is minor compared to a progressive disobedience through life that brings upon more serious consequences that sometimes have long-lasting effects. So tonight we want to talk about those things and how when we are obedient to God, it is a way that is one of the ways that we express our love and our respect for Him. Sometimes it's not so much, you know, how much we go to church, how much we tithe, how gifted we are, and even how gifted we are in ministry. Sometimes it goes beyond that. It's just our way of showing our love and our respect to God and His lordship in our life. And He is my Savior, but He must be my Lord. And obedience is a way of showing His lordship. And tonight, we have Pastor Carson Jeffries with us as well. And we want to hear him share on this topic. And so we want to welcome him to the program and welcome him to this evening that we're having tonight. So, Pastor.
Thanks, sister. Bless you. You know, talking about disobedience and partial obedience, you know, what I've learned through the years is if He's not totally Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. You know, so when we go to Christ, we have to completely turn over to Him. Partial disobedience, you know, starting back in the garden.
Oh, yes. There
you
go.
You know, in the Garden of Eden.
Very good point.
You know, God had told Adam and Eve, you know, you have all this other stuff, but don't touch that one. That's mine. And they had obeyed. They ate all the other stuff. You know, but they still disobeyed, right? You know,
they
went and touched what they weren't supposed to.
Wow.
You know,
that
so
is good.
It, and that caused a whole string of problems for us. It brought death, you know. So today we see the consequences of that partial disobedience,
right.
You know. And we sometimes, the Lord might be calling us to a certain area in ministry in the church. And, well, I don't want that, Lord. I want to preach. And He's saying, no, I need you to go over here and clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you see that a lot today. And a lot of times, folks would just sit back and say, no, I'm not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I can't get up there and preach, then I'm not going to do anything at all.
Right.
You know, and we go back and look at the folks with the five talent, the two, and the one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you either obey or you don't. I mean, there's no in between. And today,
right.
I think we confuse that sometimes. We tend to say, well, you know, Lord, You didn't really say You want me to clean the bathroom, did You?
Just
well,
my
yes,
own.
Yes, you know. That's what I want You to do is go clean the church, you know. Well, I can preach,
right.
But I can't do that. Well, He's saying, no, you have to do what I've sent You to do.
Right.
You know, and I think that happens a lot in our lives. And today, as Christians, we really have to focus on what this word says because it's so easy to cross over into things that sound good, but really there's no foundation behind them.
Right.
You know, today you hear folks say, well, you know, it's nothing wrong with a little white lie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that little white lie is going to send you to hell like any other lie.
Regardless of the color.
Regardless
right?
of the color of the lie, you know. So the problem is today, and you see that, and you hear that a lot, you know, you hear a lot of folks. One of the saddest story, if you just let me share real quick, was when I was stationed here in the U.S. Air Force, I had just moved to Irving, and I was driving on Highway 183 in our vehicle stop, and there's my wife and my two boys in the vehicle with me. And that gentleman stops by, and he said he's one of those roaming mechanics. Well, he couldn't fix the vehicle, so he offered to tow us home. And he did. And on the way home, my wife is in our vehicle as he's towing us, and I'm in the vehicle with him, and we're talking. And he's sharing with me about Jesus, which I'm thinking, this is great. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're talking, and he's sharing all about the Lord. And then we got to our house, and he's telling me about where he worships and everything. And I'm thinking, maybe I want to go to this place. Well, we're standing outside of my house. His phone rings, and he answers. And then the words that came out, I could never find them in Scripture. You know, I'm standing there going, you just told me about Christ, and you're talking about this, and he's talking to supposedly another brother from the church. And I'm thinking, whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, either you're for the Lord or you're not.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to stand up, and you have to be that light and that salt. You can't be, you know, if salt loses its taste, what happens?
Right, it loses its
effectiveness. It's no good. It's no good for anything. Mm-hmm. If the light is dark, there's a lot of trouble there,
right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so in partial obedience, like you were saying, is total disobedience.
Yes.
Total disobedience.
Yes. And one of the things that you were saying, and I think it hits home for a lot of people what you're saying, when God says, you know, I want you to do this, and many times, especially when people are very gifted, we could lose the purpose of why we're gifted. For instance, someone has the gift of singing and someone has the gift of preaching, and there's a delight in it, of course, because we see how God can use us. But there's also seasons where it's very important to sow and to be able to be a humble servant and to be a child of God and not just have a title or have an image behind it. And for me, it's always, you know, how God deals with us. For instance, one of the stories that always captivates my heart is when Elijah was just tired.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't treat him like, well, you're my prophet. He didn't go to the title. He went to the son.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to him as man. And then the same way, that's how we have to come to God many times. Just as a son or a daughter of God, and be open to do whatever needs to be done in the house. Like, if, for instance, my daughters, once they finish college and they have their education and they become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever, the last thing I want is them to come to my house and say, sorry, Mom, not washing dishes. I'm a lawyer now. You know?
No,
I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, I put you through school.
Yep.
And in my home, they should be able to sit on my lap and be who they are, just my children. And I think many times we lose perspective of that.
And I think we really do. You know, one time I remember my wife is sometimes she's a very unique lady. So, you know, she's one of those folks that when the Lord's speaking to her, she's there. You know, sometimes he has to knock me around a little bit, you know. And I remember one time we had visited a church and she was thinking about, because we didn't have a church at that time. We just moved back here, retired from the Air Force. And she was visiting and I didn't want to go because I just wanted to be lazy. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I know the Lord was calling. He had told me I was supposed to minister, and I was not going to do it. I was going to sit in the back of the church and not do anything. That was my idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went to this service, and first thing I'm going to go there is to, and here I am, you know, saying, hey, Lord, you know, I'm your child, and I'm willing to do what you want me to do. But I step into church, and there's praise and worship. And the first thing I said to her is, I don't like this. I don't like this praise and worship.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to come here, and I'm grumbling. Well, anyway, I was having to go to Oklahoma for some classes. And I'm driving up there that Sunday, and I heard the Lord speak to me just like we were talking. And he said, so you don't like the praise and worship?
Mm.
And I turned around in the car to see who was talking to me. And then he said, well, who's the praise and worship about anyway? Is it about you or me?
Yeah.
So I just said, well, you know, he said, maybe you ought to just close your mouth, praise me, be part of it.
Yes.
And, you know, inhabit the praise.
Right.
You know, he said, because I inhabit the praise of my people.
Right.
So if you just be obedient to me and be part of that, you'll see the difference.
Yeah,
I came back the next Sunday, and I was there clapping and singing.
I heard this past week a pastor say that this one gentleman was saying, well, I did not like the worship. He says, of course you didn't, because we weren't worshiping you.
Amen. And that's
it
what
it was,
the Lord,
not about you. And you know, I think, and I was when you mentioned that, I was thinking that you didn't like the worship. I think some people like their personal jukebox.
Yeah.
Want to punch in the number and get what they want, and it doesn't always work that way. Yo pienso, Pastora Blanca, que en nuestro caminar con Dios hemos visto tantas ocasiones donde queremos nuestro, we want to have it our way, lo queremos a nuestra manera, y Dios tiene que tratar con nosotros de una manera tan especial. Así que ¿Qué ejemplo nos puede dar de eso?
Ok, una de ellas es cuando no entendemos que no solamente es lo que la obediencia, sino lo que Dios quiere hacer es carácter en nosotros.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yo puedo tener todos los atributos para servir al Señor.
Yes.
Muchos dones. ¿Sí?
Yes.
Y es lo que decía el hermano. Mm-hmm. Okay, yo estoy bueno para predicar, pero no para limpiar el baño.
Sí.
Pero lo que Dios quiere enseñarnos es el carácter.
Amén.
Sí. Porque no puedes estar solamente con el don si no tienes carácter formado.
Exacto.
Y no, eso, cuando no permitimos la disciplina en nuestra vida, perdemos el rol de la obediencia.
Sí, exacto.
Sí. Nosotros mismos perdemos la bendición y no llega en el momento que o la respuesta que esperamos de Dios porque no queremos acomodar el carácter.
Uh-huh. Amén. Así
no
mismo
quiero rendirme.
That's right.
Amén.
Y a veces, y es triste, pero a veces Dios tiene que utilizar el dolor como para un recordatorio. Nos tiene que costar algo. Y a veces es algo pequeño, porque Dios siempre trata con nosotros bajo gracia, con su amor, Amén. Con su gracia, su misericordia. Pero si aún así no entendemos, empieza progressively, it gets a little stronger. And one of the examples that really struck me, and I think it'll stay with me for the rest of my life, is a pastor expressed when cows get branded.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they do is that there's a particular grass that they cannot eat from. See, I don't know much about all of that, but I remember that they said there's a particular grass that they cannot eat from. So what they do is they take advantage of the branding process and they walk them over to that grass they're not supposed to eat from and make them smell it and brand them at the same time. Okay, that way they will always relate that smell with the pain they feel when they're being branded. And you see, whenever God wants us to get something, we get branded in our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens Amen. Within us. Paul said he carries the mark of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He said, cargo las marcas de Cristo.
Amen.
Porque las pruebas y el dolor y algunas de las aflicciones que vienen a nuestra vida nos marcan y nos da el sabor a dolor, a angustia y lo que uno siente cuando pasa por esa experiencia. And it brands you. And the moment that you even smell that same path of disobedience,
yep.
you even smell it, you feel the pain all over again. You feel when God branded you. You feel when God called you his servant. Because there's a point in our walk with God where he calls you his child, but all of a sudden his language begins to change and he says, you are my servant.
Mm-hmm.
I've called you my own. And there's that transition, and sometimes he needs to brand us. He needs to mark us and identify it with something. And sometimes brokenness does us well. Sometimes trials and affliction, the Bible says that this momentary trial, you see, Paul said it after the fact. And it was so much easier for him to say it after the fact because while he's in it, it's never pleasant.
That's true.
Sí, es cierto. Un ejemplo bien real es, por ejemplo, para los huesos de las aceitunas,
yeah.
para sacar el jugo, el aceite.
Oh.
Dependiendo de la calidad de la aceituna, es la piedra que ponen encima para ir sacando
yes.
el aceite.
Para
exprimirlo.
Yes.
Tú y yo tenemos que decidir qué clase de piedra queremos sobre nuestra vida, qué clase de trato.
Yes.
Tú decides, dice el Señor. Tú
wow.
Yo te digo que no quieres tú me dijiste, abriste la boca.
Yeah.
Hiciste pacto, hicimos pacto.
Wow.
¿Sí? Te recuerdo que hicimos pacto. Entonces ahora estamos en un convenio. Tú obedeces y yo mando.
Exacto.
Como dices Amen. tú eres mi dueño. Bueno, entonces no te quejes.
Así mismo es.
Así debe
Así
ser.
Mismo es. Como cuando Dios le llama a Jeremías que vaya a la casa del alfarero y él mira y observa cómo trabaja el alfarero. Y dice la Biblia que la vasija se le quebró en sus manos. Y yo he visto el proceso de un alfarero, vi una ilustración. Y para volver a trabajar con el barro hay que mojarlo y hay que... Primero, antes de volverlo a reconstruir, hay que pulverizarlo. You have to pulverizarlo. You have to pulverize it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pulverize it. And that vessel loses its shape, loses its image,
Amen.
Loses its appearance. And
Amen.
It doesn't matter how beautiful it was. Once it's pulverized, it's almost non-existent.
Amen.
And I'll tell you that when God deals with us, many times we need to be pulverized, especially when he has a great plan for our life. Because vessels are... The purpose of vessels are to carry weight and to be displayed. Okay? And so the greater weight of glory we carry and the more displayed that we are, the more God has to first pulverize our life so that we understand it has absolutely nothing to do with me.
Amen.
It's all about Him.
Sister, you know, you're talking about which stone you want on you.
Right.
Right? You know, let's look at Jonah. I mean, this guy, you know, God had given him money. When he started out, he had money.
Yes.
Right? And God said, I want you to go and do this. And Jonah decided, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't like those people, and I'm not going to do what you say. So he decides to take that money that God had blessed him with, and he goes down and buys a ticket to go to the opposite direction. Well, God said, okay, we'll work on this. I'm going to send you through Whale University. You know? So, you know, while he's going there, he takes and he prepares a great fish, you know? And after 3 days, he graduated pretty early, didn't he? After 3 days in the whale, he has to show up anyway where God wanted him. But now he's broke and he smells like fish vomit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, sister, you're right. You decide on what you want, you know? So,
por la buena o por la
mala. Por la mala, exactly, you know?
And that's absolutely, and it's absolutely true. And you know what it is, though? God will always have his way.
Amen.
And he would always fulfill his purpose in our life. And, you know, if we humbly come before him, and it shouldn't cost us so many tears. It really, really shouldn't cost us so many tears. It shouldn't really cost us, you know, going around the desert for more than we have to. It doesn't.
Amen.
It shouldn't cost us having to walk the same path. You know, God will have us flunk our grade so many times it's not even funny. You know, we will be some overgrown seniors.
Amen.
Because we keep flunking. And it's always best just to surrender and say, God, you know what's best for my life. And I know you have your best interest at heart. And so tonight we're talking about obedience and versus partial obedience. And I think we analyze it. Analizamos bien. It's like, dice la pastora Blanca, escogemos la piedra que nos está encima. And you know, I've just had so many marks on me already. I'm like, okay, God, what do you want? So I think he's calling us tonight. I think he's calling our audience tonight. If you're listening to this program tonight, he just wants to love on you. And if we trust God, like for instance, and I was sharing this with Pastor Blanca and Yolanda when we got here to the program. I've been in Dallas already for 3 years. I'm still very dependent on my GPS. Very, very dependent on my GPS. And I'll tell you, when I punch in that address, I expect that thing to get me where I'm going. And so the way I look at it is God has already set it out for us. And if we obey and listen to his voice, why is it so much easier to hear and obey the GPS? And we say, if the GPS says turn right, I turn right. Even if it doesn't look right, we still do it. But yet, God has left us his word. And I would, you know, if you allow me to bring it down to, a type, it's our spiritual navigation system for life. And so I encourage you to stay tuned as we talk tonight about obedience in the word of God and the benefits of being a child of God and being obedient here on Cristo the Rock 100.7.
¡Dale un fuerte aplauso, Rey Reyes!
Tengo un corazón nuevo por Jesús. Tengo alegría que no cambiaría. Me quito el dolor. Soy libre por su amor. Tengo la gracia que no merecía. Tengo un corazón nuevo por Jesús. Tengo alegría que no cambiaría. Me quito el dolor. Soy libre por su amor. Tengo la gracia que no merecía. Me sacó de mi prisión, mis cadenas se rompió y las cosas han quedado atrás. Me echó libre por amor y compasión, el juicio ya fue pagado por su amor. Las cadenas que me ataban me rompió, libre soy. Me echó libre por amor y compasión, el juicio ya fue pagado por su amor. Las cadenas que me ataban me rompió, libre soy. libre soy. Tengo un corazón nuevo por Jesús. Tengo alegría que no cambiaría. Me quito el dolor. Soy libre por su amor. Tengo la gracia que no merecía. Me sacó de mi prisión. Mis cadenas se le rompió. Y las cosas han quedado atrás. Me echó libre por amor y compasión. El juicio ya fue pagado por su amor. Las cadenas que me ataban me rompió. Libre soy. Me echó libre por amor y compasión. El juicio ya fue pagado por su amor. Las cadenas que me ataban me rompió. Libre soy. Libre soy. Ya fue pagado. He sido justificado. Su sangre me ha lavado. He sido justificado. El precio ya fue pagado.
Misericordia, descansa mi corazón, Señor. Por cuanto me has considerado, te doy gracias. Dile gracias al Señor.
¿Qué soy yo para que me visites y te acuerdes de mí? ¿Qué te movió a perdonarme? Tu misericordia, oh Dios, me abrazó y el pasado olvidó.
Dilo conmigo al Señor.
Tu misericordia es mejor que la vida. Tu misericordia puso en mí una canción. Tu misericordia vivifica al caído. Tu misericordia, oh Dios, me alcanzó y mi vida coronó.
Misericordia, el Señor te ha visitado. Dile gracias, Señor.
¿Qué soy yo para que me visites y te acuerdes de mí, Señor Jesús? ¿Qué te movió a perdonarme? Misericordia, oh Dios. fracasó y el pasado olvidó. Tu misericordia es mejor que la vida.